Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. This morning, I'm going to be speaking from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, which reads, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account." These two verses are very important for every believing one to know, because the emphasis, of course, as stated in verse 12, is on the Word of God, the Logos of God. And note very carefully what the writer states, "For the word of God is," state of being verb. So he places the words "word of God" at the beginning of the sentence in order to show the emphasis, or his emphasis. The word of God is the emphasis here, is state of being verb, living, zoon, or alive, and active. The writer skillfully has written this verse. He has placed the words or within the sentence in a particular order for a particular reason through the power of the Spirit of God. The writer wants to keep foremost before our minds the importance of the Word of God in our lives. And so he emphasizes that the Word of God is living and active. Now, Paul states that the Word of God is the breath of God, the pneuma, or inbreathed by the Spirit of God. The Old Testament word is ruach. Ruach. We read in Genesis 1 about ruach Elohim, or the breath of God, the Spirit of God, the living essence of God is spirit. And so the writings, the documents of both the Old and the New Testament are the breath of God. They are living documents for our benefit. Sharper than a double-edged sword, the Makarion, the sword that Paul speaks of in Ephesians chapter 6 as part of the armor of God. In Ephesians 6, Paul writes in verse 17, "And take," note the verb take, which is given in the aorist imperative, "and take the helmet of salvation, and the Makarion, the sword of the Spirit," the double-edged sword, "the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." When the angel speaks to Mary and he tells her that a sword will go to her heart, It is the giant sword there, Ramphaya, a giant, very devastating weapon. So he tells her that a Ramphaya would penetrate her heart with regard to the, with regard to Jesus and what would happen to him. Very tragic, and yet, you know, this would be reversed at some point. Well, when Jesus would be resurrected, then her heartbreak would be healed by him and his he and his presence. So, very interesting account given in Luke's Gospel. But here we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Ramphaya, the double-edged sword. And so, back to Hebrews, the writer states that it is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates. And he uses the present tense here. It penetrates even to the dividing, asunder of soul, psuche, and spirit, pneuma, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And so the writer states that the Word of God is a mighty weapon, and then he delineates the operational power of this mighty weapon. It cuts very deep. The Word of God cuts very deep. And so the writer wants us to know this. He wants us to understand what the Word of God's activity is in our lives. We must understand the power of the Word. And so he says that the Word cuts very deep. And note, he writes, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So it is a discerner, or judge, or critic. And so it discriminates. It evaluates the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So the Word of God penetrates and benefits us. Number one. Number two, the Word stabilizes us and keeps us balanced. And three, the Word of God keeps on penetrating so that it may keep on benefiting us. And so the next verse, that is verse 13, states, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him with whom we must give account. And so it benefits us to get our lives in line with the Word of God. We are accountable to God. We will give an account to him. And verse 13 is very interesting because where it reads, everything is uncovered and laid bare. The idea of laid bare in the Greek is that of a sacrificial animal with the throat exposed for cutting. And so when we go from verse 12 to verse 13, we have something very important, a very important message for us. Everything is uncovered. Everything. There are no secret sins, in other words. Psalm 90 tells us so, that our secret sins are open scandal in heaven. There are no secret sins. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is omniscient. It is, and the omniscience of God is a doctrine that has been poorly taught, but needs to be taught to his people so that these attempts at practical atheism, that is to get away with sin, by pretending that God does not exist, or as in the book of Jeremiah, the people were so delusional and so pathologically narcissistic with their sin engagement that they collectively said, the Almighty does not see, God does not know. And so there is no spiritual discernment there, because people were sold out to their sin. Their collective will was the collective will of the people was bent toward sin, sensuality, and hence their own destruction. It was they complied. They were complicit in their own destruction. And not really were they complicit. They were explicit in that they sinned and shook their fist toward heaven, and as if daring God to act. And God told them what would happen if they continued on that course, and they did not believe what happened to them. There were three different deportations, and the final deportation, Nebuchadnezzar laid siege to Jerusalem and raised it to the ground. And God's people were taken away for their sin. Jeremiah was there. Ezekiel spoke to the people of God when they were in exile. Daniel was already at Babylon. Daniel went away in the first deportation. Jeremiah ministered to the people of God 60 years, pleading with them, telling them that the Nebuchadnezzar's invasion and taking over the land was temporal, but they were to comply with what was going on, because their sin had brought this condition upon them. So, once again, the Word of God is a mighty weapon. It has operational power. It cuts very deep. The Word of God penetrates and benefits us. The Word of God wins us from sin. The Word of God keeps us from sin. The Word of God tells us that sin is lack of conformity to the will of God. It is a missing of the mark. It is the missing of the mark of divine excellence. Jesus said, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He didn't mean perfect in the Greek sense. He meant literally be complete. Be whole. As your heavenly Father is whole. We understand divine wellness, spiritual wellness, from the Word of God. Because the Word of God has told us what God desires, how we can be complete, how we can be whole. We need a revival in the West, a revival centered around Christ-centered, godly living. We see what is going on because people, both outside the church, normative, and within the church, people have their religious worship and rituals. Please read Isaiah chapter 1 and 2, but they do not have the Word of God in their souls. We need this newness. Please understand this morning that the Word of God can discern and does discern the motives of the cardia, the motives of our heart. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.